on top of being selfish, it shows that we are unwilling to submit ourselves to the providences that God brings in our lives. Now, I'm not saying that any of us is immune from behaving this way, but this book is a justification for something ungodly, something from the something other than the Christian worldview perspective. The Christian worldview perspective is that God brings all things into our lives, and he does so for a purpose. And we need to rejoice in those things and count it much joy because God's doing it for our good. It's hard for us to imagine what it would be like to be a paraplegic, but nevertheless, we have to imagine that God is in control of this. These guys were speaking as if he were not. One guy in the Rotary Club actually said, "Oh, well, you know, this is one of those events or instances where, you know, technology is keeping human life alive, you know, and therefore it's okay to remove the life support and so forth. It's not really like a physician-assisted suicide. It's just somebody losing the life support which you already had." But friends, don't you realize that God is in charge? God is in charge of technology. He's the one that can use technology to promote his ends. The idea that God is being trumped by technology or his purposes is just preposterous. It's not something that those of us who hold the Christian worldview should continue to espouse. And yet most of these Rotarians, many of whom I know go to church, one of them being the director of the Salvation Army or somebody in management, had their heads hung in shame after my comments. Didn't even want to look at me. I know there's some other Southern Baptists and whatnot in the room, and they had nothing to say in support and let one after another rant and rave about how my position was wrong and that they indeed need to allow people to die like this, you know, to commit suicide. Well, okay, there are two issues. One is the moral issue, that this is sinful, it's wrong, it's a denial of God's providence in our life. Just like Terry Schiavo, and of course he brought up Terry Schiavo and so forth. He even brought up his favorite philosophers, you know, like John Sartre or somebody else who thought about, you know, suicide's the only question, the only relevant question. Because if you don't have a Christian worldview, there's really no reason to even be alive. If there is nothing more than getting a few bits of pleasure in a sea of pain for your entire life, then why continue? What's the point? I mean, you're not going to remember at any rate. These non-believers, I think they just go back into the ground and turn into dust, and the soul doesn't have any existence or anything else. If that's the case, then there is no real reason to continue on if God does not exist, if the Christian worldview is false. Of course, it's not false, but you know, this guy raises that question at this meeting. Well, the question about whether or not this activity of suicide should be illegal is another question entirely. And, you know, like any other, my initial thought is, and as I'm thinking about the proactive, reactive side of government and whatnot, when you have people who are sinning, whether it be being homosexual, whether it be being adulterers, whether it being covetous, blasphemers, idolaters, anything else clearly in violation of God's word and clearly in sin, we don't necessarily make it illegal. And in this particular case, I don't think I would make what this guy's talking about illegal. And I'm willing to change my mind on this, but it's not like abortion where you're actually murdering someone else in the womb. It's something a bit different than that. And so I welcome your phone calls to discuss it with me. 864-244-8177. That's my thought on it initially, at any rate. This is a sin. It's immoral. It's disgusting. It's against the Word of God. It's against what we know to be the Christian worldview, and although we're lone detractors in holding that position, because so many others, exemplified by the Rotary Club, wouldn't agree, it is indeed a sin. Whether or not it should be illegal, and the proactive state should stop it, is another question. I think not. I think the state should have nothing to do with much of anything in influencing our lives or our behavior and so forth, and because the state is inherently evil itself. Yeah, you may have a different view, and we may want to discuss it. It's an interesting topic. At any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's time for a break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, talking this morning about this book, Breathe, and the conversation I participated, or the lecture I attended, and also made a comment at the end. And this is a tough issue. I mean, all life issues are tough issues, but you know what? It's really tough for those of us who are Christians once we see clearly the evils that have been thrust upon us by Hollywood and the public school and so many people believing that it's just okay to behave in a certain way. It's just like from what I heard the other day, that the whole advent of pornography has changed the American psyche about different kinds of relationship. It's okay to be, there may not be as much a promotion, although there probably is, of homosexual behavior. But, for instance, women are twisted into believing that it's okay to have certain relationships with one another in order to please men. And although this may be appealing to the sinful tendencies of men, yet we know that in God's economy, this sort of thing is not okay. And yet, because these sort of things exist, the mind becomes deadened to it. We're not, I don't want to say seared, but we're not shocked by it anymore, these sorts of things. And because of that, it becomes part of, it's easy to become part of normal lifestyle, everyday lifestyle. The Christian worldview is a radical worldview. It's a worldview that comes in and changes our hearts and tells us, you may think that way, but you're thinking sinfully and you need to repent and change. You need to think about this the way God sees this and the way God thinks about this. And this sort of activity is absolutely wrong. It's sinful, it's evil, it's against what God has ordained. That is the truth in all things, and especially as Satan goes forth with his legions, as the unbelievers march forward with their particular perspectives on the world, the non-Christian worldview, the pagan worldview. And such is the case with the idea of breathe and the whole business about just allowing yourself to die because you can unplug yourself from technology or you can have someone do it for you. Well, here once again, we're confronted with an issue. A moral issue where it's pretty clear that God has ordained the things that come to pass in our lives, and we are to happily submit to them under providence and believe that God is in control, not take matters into our own hands and become those are our masters of our own destiny, and to shrugging the providence of God and going forward. Instead, we are to be submissive to His will, knowing that it's for our good that these things come to pass in our own sanctification. There isn't a bailout clause like the world would like us to believe anytime there's some kind of problem that arises in our lives. And we all need to be this needs to be preached to all of us frequently, because that is the Christian worldview. Now, the question for us, it's more delicate when we start thinking about, however, the whole matter of the state. The state, which is effectively evil in its essence, at least in my opinion, not even transformable. In fact, I don't know any Reconstructionist, even though they believe it's transformable, who would say the state right now is anything but evil. At any rate, the fact of the matter is the state is not our friend, it's not our ally. Why do we want it promoting any kind of morality at all? In my view, you don't want it to promote any morality. It's ridiculous. It's trying to get fresh water out of a salty spring. It's going to be one problem after another. We've never seen the state actually work well. It's just like when I was in Peru and talking to the folks on the left, the far left, the Marxists, and asking them questions after they're promoting the state. I said, when has the state actually ever helped you? When has it actually made your life any better? And they said it hasn't. It hasn't actually done anything it's claimed to do, even back in history in other countries. I said, well, why do you believe that it will then? Well, if we get enough good Christian people in there, it's kind of a divine right idea, enough good Christian people into the political process, yes, then it'll actually change and we'll be able to do good with the state, as if somehow the behemoth Leviathan thing will turn around and actually start upholding God's commandments or rules or whatever. It's a pipe dream, to say the least. So given the fact the state is not equipped to handle moral issues like this and changing people's behavior, I don't want the state to do any of it. Nothing. Zero. Whose responsibility is it that this tragedy has occurred that happened at Rotary Club, or when this person talked about his book Breathe, or when other life issues come up? I lay the charge strictly and straightly to pastors, to the mealy-mouthed pastors in this country who will not stand up for what's right and true, that are more worried about pleasing men rather than pleasing God, are unwilling to say the hard thing from their pulpit, saying that they don't want to be rude or they want to have good manners and they aren't going to offend anybody in order to maintain their salary or maintain peace or not be controversial. This kind of mealy-mouthed attitude is what gets you this sort of activity, this breed, this sort of idea. To think that I, as a layman, were the only one in this club meeting who was willing to stand up, and the other Christians there apparently were ashamed to stand up for life or stand up for the Christian worldview. That's a tragedy, friends, and it's not a tragedy that's a fault of the state. It's a fault of not only the unregenerate heart, but the preachers in the United States of America who are unwilling to preach the truth and hold up and stand up for what is true according to their own conviction. And that is the greatest tragedy I can think of. When that happens, the whole thing goes downhill. You pastors are called upon to uphold morality in the land by preaching the Word of God. And if you're not doing it, then you're part of the problem, so to speak, not part of the solution. Stop blaming it on the state or trying to look to the state to be some kind of lackey that helps you do your job because you don't want to. There's my charge to all of you for what it's worth. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production at policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. You're listening to Homeschooler Friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Going to change gears or shift gears for a minute if you want to talk about some of this other issues about the book Breathe. Do give us a call, 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. We're glad to talk with you about it. It's an interesting topic from the Christian worldview perspective, and there may be some Christians out there who have been so influenced by Hollywood or so influenced by their media they watch on through their television or movies and whatnot that they believe it's okay to kill yourself. Even if it's legal to do so, it doesn't make it right to do so. Just because abortion is legal does not mean abortion is right. It's still something can still be immoral and be illegal. And you know what? Something can be legal and still be immoral too. It works both ways. So just because the government has sanctioned something, don't let that influence your Christian worldview. Don't let your sentiment and your desire for escape and not wanting to be sanctified dissuade you from doing what God says. God chastises us according to Hebrews chapter 12, but it's for our good. We are to endure it patiently, he says in the Word, and as Christians we need to uphold that standard. Well, anyway, let me switch gears here for the moment. We've got an article that Ken's emailed to me called from WorldNet Daily, August 30th. Glad he found this. This is an interesting article. He says, "Life with Big Brother." That's speaking about the state and its proactive interventions into our lives. The Fed seize a man's $10 million in gold. Owner asked Mint to authenticate coins, and government grabs them. What in the world is this all about? Joseph Farah. The Fed seize a man's $10 million in gold. Don't ever send your coins off to get authenticated. I mean, the moral of this story, I can tell you that. A Philadelphia antiques dealer says he will sue the U.S. Mint to recover rare gold coins worth millions of dollars after the federal government seized them, claiming they were illegally obtained. The dealer discovered 10 Double Eagle $20 coins minted in 1933 in a Philadelphia antiques and jewelry store and voluntarily brought them to the Mint, U.S. Mint, for authentication. In June, the Mint confirmed they were the coveted Double Eagles, but informed the Langbord family that the coins were being sent for safekeeping to the U.S. Bullion Depository at Fort Knox, Kentucky, because the family had no right to them, according to the family's attorney. Only about 25 of the 445,500 are known to have survived destruction after President Franklin D. Roosevelt mandated all privately owned gold confiscated in the U.S. in 1933, ordering the coins melted down. Two of the coins were given to the Smithsonian Institution in Washington for display. but a few more survived. The 10 recently discovered were obtained in 1937 by Israel Swit, an antiques dealer and ancestor of the Langbord family, in whose store the coins were found. Swit died in the 1980s. Mint officials claim Swit got at least 20 of the coins from a cashier at the Philadelphia Mint, later convicted of a crime relating to his work there. One of Swit's coins were believed to have found its way to the King Farouk of Egypt, and it was auctioned to an anonymous buyer in 2002 for $7.59 million, the largest sum ever paid for a coin. In that case, the government retained title to the coin but agreed to split the proceeds because of a dispute over evidence, a Mint official said. Barry Burke, a New York lawyer for the Langbord family, argues the Mint cannot prove the coins were illegally obtained and should return them to the family. Mint officials said no such proof is needed because the coins were never issued and so remain government property. Mint officials say they will fight any lawsuit, and if they succeed, the double eagles will be shown in museums. What we appear to have is yet another example of the U.S. government overstepping its boundaries, further alienating American citizens from conducting free trade on personal property, said Kevin Lipton of Kevin Lipton Rare Coins in Beverly Hills. The government claims extraordinary powers to, under the Trading with the Enemy Act of 1917, which is still in force. Article 5B of the law holds that the president may investigate, regulate, or prohibit under such rules and regulations as he may prescribe by means of licenses or otherwise any transactions in foreign exchange for the export, hoarding, melting, or earmarking of gold or silver coins or bullion or currency. The president has nearly unlimited power when it comes to money if he deems the monetary system to be in jeopardy. It was this section that was used to justify Roosevelt's decision to confiscate gold in 1933. President Jimmy Carter later used it to freeze Iranian assets during the hostage crisis. President Nixon used it to take the country off the gold standard. Will the president or the Treasury use this law against U.S. citizens again? Asked David Bradshaw, editor of Real Money Perspectives. Don't bet against it. But he maintains U.S. citizens have a right to own gold. Just last week, the U.S. Treasury Department told the Gold Antitrust Action Committee that the government has authority to prohibit the private possession of gold and silver bullion by U.S. citizens during wartime and declared emergencies, and the authority to freeze their ownership of shares of mining companies. The Treasury Department's assertion came in a letter to GATA dated August 12th and written by Sean M. Thornton, Chief Counsel for the Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, who replied to questions GATA posed on the department in January. It took GATA 6 months to get answers from the Treasury. Thornton specifically cited the Trading with the Enemy Act, which became law during World War I and applies during declared wars from 1977, Internal Emergency Economic Powers Act, which can be applied without declared wars. When the Trading with the Enemy Act was passed in 1917, gold and silver formed a part of the official currency of the United States and were essential to ordinary commerce. Oh, man. This is awful. Joseph Ferris brought to us a big story here, folks, that the government of the United States is confiscating people's private property again under the guise of this preposterous act that's still apparently in force. If you'd like to talk about that, we'd love to hear from you. This is just heart-wrenching when we see so many things like this go on in America, and yet this is the land of the free, folks. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, my. How far have we slid? And this is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Time for our break. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. Exciting topics on tap as we talk about this word breathe and the right to commit suicide, as well as the confiscation of this man's gold coins by the U.S. Mint in this latest tyranny in the United States. Before we go on and talk about some other topics, we want to go ahead and get a check at the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 72 degrees, and downtown 72, Anderson 73, Clemson 71. Today it's going to be partly cloudy, highs in the lower 90s, and west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
I'd also like to remind you to remember to check out tyrannyresponse.com, tyrannyresponse.com. You'll find there all sorts of things of interest, including the events of the upstate South Carolina, as well as related media. That includes lots of different links. One of those links is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition to protect your private property. Scroll down to the bottom and click on the link and sign the petition. It takes you less than 30 seconds and do your small part for promoting liberty here in South Carolina as well as in America. There's also a link to the audio files, which include the current shows, today's, yesterday's, day before, as well as a section on Liberty Minutes. The Liberty Minutes section you need to check frequently because it always is being updated and added to. Just recently I sent Richie, who hasn't quite had a time to put it on there yet, but it will be there shortly, the latest file under the public policy section, the first section of Liberty Minutes, dealing with nations and nationalism, theology of nations and nationalism. It's a long clip, about 25 minutes, but it's very instructive, I trust, and informative on exactly what a nation is in the Bible. A lot of people who are preaching today confuse the word nation used today in our vernacular, which really means state, the state of America, the nation state of America, with the word nation as it occurs in the scripture. And it's very obvious, it should become very obvious to you after you listen to this, or and you can certainly read along in the PDF version as well, which is available at policyofliberty.net. Go there and check it out. You'll find out that, in fact, nations refer to ethnic groups. They do not refer to a political apparatus demarcated by territory. It just doesn't exist that way in the scriptures. That's a modern idea. When we thrust upon the scriptures ideas, the modern vernacular, we have all sorts of distortions. such as righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That does not refer to the political structure and organization of the United States when it says nation. That nation, that political unit and entity and covenant will be exalted when people are righteous. No, it means that the large extended family, clan, tribe that's become a nation will be exalted when they adopt en masse the provisions of the gospel. That's just one example, and you'll find out about how what that's all about if you listen to that audio file. Another thing we have, of course, is the product section, the Warriors of Honor, and the books, book Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, as well as a couple of photos of us and some contact information. All of those are links there. If you're interested in volunteering for something at the Tyranny Response Network, we could sure use your help now. We're looking for people to help produce the Christian Worldview Show, as well as for people who can help with technical issues. We have so many technical issues, and always looking for people who can volunteer some time, whether it be 2 hours a week or 2 hours a month or 20 hours a week. Any amount of time is coveted by us, and if you want to support our great effort, go to the contact tab and on the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website. Scroll down a little ways and you'll find find a number of people you can email, including Richie, Chuck, Mark, Brad, and so forth. Send somebody an email and let them know you're interested. You can also call Chuck at 864-458-1981. That's 864-458-1981. And have an opportunity that way to talk with him and find out how you can help out with this great project here in the upstate of South Carolina. Well, anyway, we need to go back to a couple of articles. Got so many articles to read today, as usual, especially because we have a backlog from yesterday. One of our research staff wanted to point out something, that the U.S. surely is no free trade country. And this is coming from an article back even in the 80s from Hans Senholz, who then was the department head of economics at Grove City College, in his article, Protectionism and Unemployment, 1985, in the Freeman. He continues to say, towards the end of his article, obviously we can't read the whole thing, it's just too long, there are many more U.S. barriers to trade with Japan and other countries. The most noticeable probably are Buy American statutes that give preference to domestic products in federal and state government contracts. A lot of folks believe that we have free trade here in America, and Stenholz is right when he says what he does, because we do not actually have free trade. We have enormous tariffs that are enacted in order to protect certain industries. Now, what does it mean to protect an industry, whether it's the textile industry or other? Well, what it essentially means is that a good or service of the same quality can be produced in another country, and by producing in another country, because labor costs are less and so forth, the regulatory costs are less, the lobbying costs are less, and legal costs, they are able to produce the good or service at a lower price. And because people don't want to lose their jobs here, obviously, in the kind of society we live in, a tariff barrier is erected in order to make that good effectively coming in from overseas more expensive. And by making it more expensive, people will still buy the American good. Now, who really benefits? Well, a few workers benefit from it, but the vast majority of people who buy the good, obviously, do not benefit. They end up paying more money. Sugar, for instance, has a 40% tariff on it. Well, why do we have a 40% tariff? Because we have to protect sugar beet farmers in Texas and in Idaho, as well as cane growers in Hawaii who face stiffer costs due to regulation and so forth. Well, by making sugar 40% more expensive, you raise your food bill enormously, because there are so many things you buy that have sugar in them that drive the cost of products up, because all those companies are forced to pay a tariff. And so it is with all tariffs. It makes the consumer worse off. You probably pay somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 a year, depending on how many things you buy, in added tariffs that you would not normally pay, because of all these hidden tariffs that the United States has set up to so-called protect industries. And at any rate, if you're interested in talking about that economic topic, we'd love to discuss it here with you as well. It's a popular one, especially among conservatives, to have protectionist tariffs when they actually just harm people. And the ideas to justify it, I think, are very spurious and false. Anyway, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If the state sets itself up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state's authority. The state must resist the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, lest they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in the Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 145. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. I was just rejoicing as I thought, you know, this is the 31st day of August, 2005. This show began on the Tyranny Response Network, and even though it's still fledgling, it actually began a full 8 months ago, right at the beginning of January, somewhere after the first, I think it was the 5th, the first day we could possibly really do a show. We began broadcasting this webcast, and of course it was transmitted on various signals in the upstate of South Carolina, and the webcast, of course, goes all over the world. Have listeners in California, heard from a listener in Arizona the other day, as well as other places. So we can rejoice in that. It's been a struggle to survive, and we're still struggling, but we can rejoice that we've made it this far, and hopefully we'll continue to be able to persist and promote the truth. You can, of course, support the Tyranny Response Network by sending donations to the address on the website, tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net. We'd be very glad if you would do so, because we are an organization run entirely by volunteers, and we need both volunteer help and cash donations. Even if they're small donations, we would appreciate very much. Send them to the P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina, or drop them by the Integrity Group office. Pay a visit to me. I also appreciate all the encouraging phone calls I get. In fact, if you have an encouraging word, don't think it will go. It's not worth spreading or saying. Give me a call. Call the Integrity Group and say, you know, speak to Dr. Coben, and I'll just give you an encouraging word. The Integrity Group phone number, of course, in the upstate here is 864-244-6464. Hope you'll have an opportunity to lay an encouraging word down this eighth month after the Tyranny Response Network began and the Christian Worldview program. Don't forget in the afternoons to try to tune in for Rippin' Richie for his Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse. I know he can't get on the air every day because of his work commitments, but most days he's there. And be sure to think about 97.7 in Greenville or whatever station you may be listening on through the webcast and whatnot, that Rippin' Richie is there doing his Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse show worthwhile doing, worthwhile listening to. Other events in the upstate we have in the calendar here. Speaking of Rip and Richie, we're going to have to call Rip and Richie and tell him to put up the September calendar since this is the last day. The only things going on this week are, as far as I know, on Saturday. We have 8:30 in the morning, the last meeting of the Institute on the Constitution at Bible Baptist Church in Pickens. If you can possibly make that, call Mark Dibbler at 864-421-2714. That's 864-421-2714. Any details you miss, you can go to the tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net website and find them out there. We also have a meeting of the Carolina Patriots, the main meeting of the Carolina Patriots on Saturday at 12:30 for lunch, 1 o'clock to the for the meeting until 3. I'll be speaking. I've been asked to speak that day. I'm not sure about what yet. To the meeting group about probably about the trip to Peru and so forth. Being happy to do that, as well as talk about Tyranny Response Network. They're a very big supporter of the Tyranny Response Network, and we also want to be very supportive of them. Make sure you attend, and if you have any issues with taxes or just want to learn about freedom a little more deeply, make sure to attend the Carolina Patriots meeting at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant across from the Greenville Mall in Greenville, 12:30 this Saturday. That's all the upstate events, though. You can find them all there at the tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com websites. Well, here's some cynical thoughts on the Iraqi Constitution by Bob Murphy. Cynical thoughts on the Iraqi Constitution by Bob Murphy. And we want to read this in an entire, because I think it is probably pretty good. The research staff sent this thing up, and I think it's worth reading on the air. I make no claim, says Murphy, to be an expert on the Middle East, so I won't even try to write a rich essay brimming with dozens of gems, political, historical, and cultural analysis. Instead, I offer a brief summary of my reactions to the unfolding story of Iraq's new constitution. Did it strike anyone else as slightly comical that the Iraqi equivalent of our own constitutional convention had an official deadline, which it missed, and then kept asking for and getting extensions? To paraphrase my wife, this sounds more like a term paper for a college class, not the codification of the rights of man. What really infuriates me is the response of the Bush team to the difficulties of the process and hence the failure to reach consensus according to the original timetable. Bush and his subordinates kept reminding the critics that our own constitution took years to write and ratify, so we shouldn't be surprised at the delays in Iraq. Why, yes, that's perfectly true. In fact, I'll do you one better, Mr. President, and point out the U.S. Constitution also required the prior centuries of English experience with limited government and the entire colonial history in which the Americans grew up in a tradition of the relative rule of law. So not only should we have expected that the Iraqis might need a few extensions to their deadline, we shouldn't have hoped to transform their country into a 51st state of the Union in under a century. The other thing is that bothers me about the Bush and company's response is that it was their own sponsored Iraqi parliament that set the initial timetable, a timetable to which the administration continually pointed out to show how much progress was being made in Iraq, despite the pesky insurgency. After all, it wasn't Noam Chomsky who had forced the reluctant Bush team to adopt a hurried deadline for the new constitution. So what happened was this. Bush sends the U.S. military to take over another country, and all the while poo-pooing the critics who objected to the feasibility of nation-building at gunpoint. Then, when there are major obstacles in the construction of the new Iraq polity, Bush et al. Responded as if they had been voicing such concerns all along, and it is their critics who are unreasonably demanding a quick transformation of Iraq society. No, Mr. President, when the critics complain about the failure to meet original timetables, most of them are simply pointing out that, as usual, you and your subordinates are not living up to your own stated positions to the American people. We're gonna read the rest of this, but we need to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Here's another huge puzzle. Bush and company kept telling us that whatever the reasons the terrorists themselves might give, the terrorists hate us because of our freedoms. These terrorists hate our secular liberal society. They can't stand that our democratic institutions allow our sovereign citizens to enact measures contrary to Islam, or that women enjoy equal rights before the law. Okay, let's just assume all that's true. And while 19 men would leave their families, cross an ocean, and spend years preparing to kill themselves, all because they hate federalism and immodest women. Even so, wouldn't foisting a free secular government in Iraq thus cause the terrorists to hate us even more? And yet, Bush keeps telling us that the Iraqi Constitution is an important step in reducing insurgency. It's a good thing we have a government to explain to us how these strange foreigners think. Every commentator has said that the average Iraqi cares nothing for historic political events because he's too concerned with the lack of electricity, clean water, and security. Is it too cynical to wonder whether part of the reason for this lack is precisely to keep the resistance in disarray? After all, it's hard to plot against an occupying force if your lights don't work. Finally, despite all the allusions to the U.S. Founding Fathers and the necessity for slow deliberations when drafting the Constitution, Bush made a phone call, and we can only suppose made a friendly suggestion that the Iraqis reach agreement. Does he really think the situation is now fixed? Or that is just it's just possible that he made the phone call because of the mounting political. Well, I guess that means we have a phone call, and we'll if you can hang on to. Oh well, our phone caller just hung up. Well, if for whatever reason you're calling, please call us back again. We're not sure why we had that buzz on the line here, but I'll check with my producer. At any rate, look. Does he really think the situation is now fixed, or is it just possible that he made the phone call because of mounting political pressure at home to achieve something in Iraq? As with the non-existent weapons of mass destruction, so too with the tortuous process of the Iraqi state building. Either the Bush administration has been completely ignorant and naive in its prediction, or they all knew full well the true situation and just lied about it. Either way, Shouldn't supposedly conservative Republicans be a bit uncomfortable? At what point do we stop trusting George W. Bush and his crew to handle the situation in Iraq? How about yesterday or the day before? There should be no way we would trust this guy. For all I know, he's carrying out a vendetta that his father had against Saddam Hussein. I don't know what in the world's going on there behind the scenes. I can only guess that there's something to do with oil, money, power, and so forth involved. I remember him talking about cheap oil prices after the conquest of Iraq, too. And guess what? We haven't seen that, have we? Seems like a little bit high. Last time I checked at the pump, looked like I was in Europe, $2.70 here in South Carolina. I can only imagine what it is in California. The draft of the Iraqi Bill of Rights, by the way, just to remind you, because it does relate to a lot of their constitutional provision as well, included things for social justice, socialized medicine, especially for maternity and maternal mothers, kids, and so forth. A great public education scheme, guaranteed employment, welfare, abridgment of our individual rights, housing rights, feminism, gun restrictions, supports for the arts and science, the common ownership of natural resources, and state promotion of virtue and morals. All freedoms are abridgments of rights and are subject to what the law will allow them to be. That is what freedom is supposedly going to be look like in Iraq. It's not freedom, it's communism, it's socialism. There is no difference between some of the things, or many of the things, in that Iraqi Bill of Rights and structured through this constitution than you would find in any communist or totalitarian state. And that's what these folks are fighting for. That's what they think they're doing to spread democracy, is bring those kinds of things to that land. Sad state of affairs, to say the least. Want to also remind folks that we do appreciate the encouragement that comes through the various phone calls to our sponsors. And although I rarely talk about Integrity Group, my financial planning business, I'd like to just make a small plug for it today. I know the commercial runs, and I do hear phone calls from folks. People, if you'd like to continue to support this effort at Christian Worldview, if you like hearing the truth proclaimed here on the radio station here in Greenville and elsewhere through the webcast, then by all means, support the Integrity Group. Even if it's something like renewing your life insurance or doing your retirement account, why not stop by at the Integrity Group and do it? Because by doing that, you're supporting indirectly the work that goes on here at Christian Worldview and the Tyranny Response Network. One of our other sponsors had called me and told me that some people had called him recently to set up some work, and they were encouraged by that because they had had their ad heard on here on the Tyranny Response Network. Well, by all means, call the Integrity Group if you have any insurance, financial planning, retirement issues. Rolling over your 401k is a great thing to do. Why go down the street to another broker when you can come and actually help out someone who is fighting for the cause for truth and needs your support to continue? After all, the hours and hours we spend on this project take away from the hours that we're able to do our business, but we believe that it's a valuable thing for us to do and a ministry for us to do and something we should do. But we do encourage you to give us your support by calling the Integrity Group at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. It's the last day of August 2005, and we've been talking about some exciting stuff today. Look forward to your phone calls and comments. Before we do so, let's best check the weather.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 72 degrees. Downtown, 72. Anderson, 73. Clemson, 71. Today, it's going to be partly cloudy, highs in the lower 90s, and west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
All right, and here is an article called Air Neglect. Air Neglect, What's Wrong with Trained Pilots Having Guns by Dave Koppel and David Petes. Air Neglect, What's Wrong with Trained Pilots Having Guns. And this is published by on the Armed Females of America website. some of our research staff like this website for good reason. What's wrong with trained pilots having guns anyway? And the new Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I don't read Harry Potter, so this is a little bit newsy to me too. New to me, any rate. The young wizarding students are frustrated by a Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher who resolutely refuses to teach the students how to protect themselves. The teacher, Dolores Umbridge, is a government bureaucrat, and she considers it better that innocents be murdered by the Death Eaters than for people outside the government to be able to fight back. Unfortunately, our real-world Transportation Security Administration might as well be run by Dolores Umbridge. By sabotaging the Armed Pilots Program, the Bush Transportation Security Administration is resolutely continuing to undermine the will of the American people and the express determination of the United States Congress. Last month, the TSA fired Willie Ellison, who had been the head of the TSA Firearms Training Academy. Ellison was strongly praised as a first class of 44 pilots, which recently graduated from the program. Accordingly, USA Today, Ellison, on June 6, was fired for unacceptable performance and conduct. What is unacceptable conduct? He held a dinner for the first class of graduates, gave them baseball caps with the program logo, and asked for course evaluations. Does firing a teacher for conduct like this really sound like TSA is interested in high-quality teaching? I don't think so. Well, at any rate, this is it's a good article and a good question. Why in the world wouldn't you want to have everyone armed who's flying on, who's a pilot? In my opinion, as I've already stated in Times Examiner articles and elsewhere, check guns. I mean, let guns be checked out to passengers as they get on the plane. Sir, do you have your boarding pass, please? Driver's license. Sir, would you care to have a set of earphones today to listen to the music or the movie that's on? Oh, sir, would you care to carry a .38 caliber today or a 9mm? You have your choice. Just make sure you turn them back in when you get off the plane in whatever in city. If everybody's armed on the plane, folks, you're not going to have terrorist problems. Sure, you might indeed have a guy stand up and try to do something, but he'll have so many people shooting at him that the plane's not going to crash. He might indeed be able to kill some passengers, like any other murderer could do in any other place. But if people are armed with pistols with bullets that are designed so they won't be able to penetrate the fuselage, there's no problem at all. It's not a problem whatsoever. We have a phone call coming in, and we want to jump right to the phone lines here. Welcome to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, good morning. This is Chuck.
Hey, good morning, Chuck. Faithful caller Chuck on the line. Good to hear from you.
Well, not too faithful this week. I think this is the first time we've talked.
Well, you're usually faithful, though. I'm giving you credit for all your past merit.
Okay. I'll take it.
Anyhow, what's on your mind today, Chuck?
Well, I wanted to talk about I'm afraid I haven't been able to hear your program this morning, but I wanted to see what you thought about the Christian Exodus and some of the criticism they've been getting.
Well, I don't read the Greenville News, or as some people fondly call it, the Greenville Noise, but I understand that there's been a lot of harsh criticism going back and forth, people calling it a sect and so forth, because anyone who stands up for the Christian worldview nowadays is maligned, just like I was at the Rotary Club, as I mentioned earlier in the show, in supporting life rather than death. Christian worldview is just scorned by people. Of course, we love the Christian Exodus here. We think they're a great group, and although we won't necessarily agree with every aspect of every member, so what? They're certainly on our team, and we have healthy disagreements between us, theoretically on some points, but we think the Christian Exodus can do a great job here in helping to transform society.
Well, I think you're right. And the shame of it is that people fear a takeover, I think is the way they would phrase it. And what they're neglecting to see is that these are traditional values. It's not a takeover at all. It's a return to the values that have really been pretty common in upstate South Carolina.
Yes, precisely. It's not like it's what people are concerned about is so many people would move in that they don't have, that don't share the values that they hold, and that's what they hate. They do not want people to be around them that hold things that they consider to be backwards or wrong. And we might say the same thing, in all honesty. I mean, we don't necessarily like people who have values different than ours living near us. It's part and parcel of being an American that we have to put up with other people, and that's the way most people look at it, but not in my backyard. They don't want, you know, we don't want, for instance, the entire Las Vegas industry of, you know, whatever they have there moving here. Many people don't. And because of that, you know, they'd resist it. Well, the same thing is now happening even here in Greenville, that people don't even want traditional family values nearby.
I just think that's a shame.
Yeah. It is. It really is a shame, that's for sure. But that is the nature of the beast, unfortunately. Well, you didn't have a chance to listen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been trying to find out more about Corey Burnell. I did happen to see one of his articles on the website. He talked about LBJ and FDR still being in the White House. He's excellent.
Yeah, he really does have it down as far as, you know, being understanding economics, free markets. You know, he's a Constitution Party member, and we of course like Constitution Party members generally, even those of us who don't agree on every particular point of the party platform. We certainly would much rather have a Constitution Party candidate win than a Republican or a Democrat. And he falls right in line with
them. Well, that's for sure.
So, anyway, earlier on the show today, we had interesting comments about this man's gold being confiscated. There's only 25 coins in existence from the 1933 mint that FDR melted down. Somebody found some of these, tried to get them authenticated. They're worth $10 million, and the government confiscated them. That was an interesting story. And then we had the story, as I said, about the right of a person to kill themselves, how antithetical it is to the Christian worldview. A lot of times we all suffer from having a bad wife or a bad husband or a bad job, and we just want to escape and get out. And we believe that killing ourselves is okay because that's what Hollywood and the public school teach us. But the Christian worldview is that all things work together for good, it's the height of selfishness for us to fly in the face of providence. So I mentioned that earlier in the show. I guess you didn't catch that. We had some interesting discussion about that as well. As the mention, well, should it be illegal just because it's sinful? I don't think so. That was my view. I don't know if you have a different take on that, Chuck, but just because something is wrong or immoral, I charge pastors squarely for the failure on this, and not to lay to the state the idea that they have to come and fix the problem. I don't know if you want to think about some of those things and stay on with after the break here, but we've got to jump to a quick break, Chuck, and we'll be back in just a minute. Do you want to hold on for a sec?
No, I'm going to have to go, but I will think about those things, and maybe we can talk about them tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Appreciate the call today, Chuck. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute. And take notice of the Bill of Rights this time. It's going to be a long break, but we want you to hear the Bill of Rights.
Comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And lots more news going on here today. Of course, the Sunnis reject the Iraqi draft. Baghdad officials completed work on a new constitution yesterday, but the draft was rejected by Sunni Arab negotiators, setting stage for a bitter campaign leading up to the October 15th referendum. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, a bunch of socialist claptrap. These people are just trying to set up something that's wrong, but hey, that's what states do, you know. They conquer other places and then they set up their own evil empire. Here's the word for the day from the Tyranny Response Network staff, research staff. Alex Alexateric. Alexateric. It's an adjective. Means counteracting the effects of poison. Alexateric is to counteract the effects of poison, warding off contagion. Well, how many of us remember these words? I can't say that I do. I don't use them all that regularly. I've never seen this one, although I probably should have, but not as well read as I ought to be, perhaps, on with these kinds of words. Maybe you find this word more in medical texts or something or other. I have to check with my wife about that one. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they're regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between Old Stadium and Lawrence Road. I guess that'll be next Thursday then. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. The bombing of Nagasaki, August 9th, 1945, The Untold Story by Gary Coles, M.D. This should be interesting, shouldn't it? This was sent to us by LibertarianChristians.com, and it's off the LouRockwell.com website. He says, 60 years ago, on August 9th, 1945, the second of only two atomic bombs, a plutonium bomb, ever used as instruments of aggressive war against essentially defenseless civilian populations, was dropped on Nagasaki, Japan, by an all-Christian bomb crew. The well-trained crew soldiers were only doing their job and did it efficiently. It had been only 3 days since the first bomb, a uranium bomb, had decimated Hiroshima on August 6th, with chaos and confusion in Tokyo, where the fascist military government and the emperor had been searching for months for a way to an honorable end for the war, which had exhausted the Japanese to virtually moribund status. The only obstacle to surrender had been the Truman administration's insistence on unconditional surrender, which meant that the Emperor Hirohito, whom the Japanese regarded as a deity, would be removed from his figurehead position in Japan, an intolerable demand for the Japanese. The Russian army was advancing across Manchuria with the stated aim of entering the war against Japan on August 8th, so there was an extra incentive for the war to end quickly. The U.S. military command did not want to divide any spoils or share power after Japan sued for peace. The U.S. bomber command had spared Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Kokura from the conventional bombing that had burned to the ground 60-plus other major Japanese cities during the first half of 1945. One of the reasons for targeting relatively undamaged cities with these new weapons of mass destruction was to see what would happen to intact buildings and their living inhabitants when the atomic weapons were exploded overhead. Early in the morning of August 9th, 1945, a B-25 Super Fortress called Boxcar took off from Tinian Island, where the prayers and blessings of its Lutheran and Catholic chaplains, and headed for Kokura, the primary target. Its bomb was coded Fat Man after Winston Churchill. The only field test of a nuclear weapon blasphemously named Trinity had occurred just 3 weeks earlier, 1945, June 16th, at Alamo Gordo, New Mexico. The molten lava rock that resulted, still found at the site today, is called Trinitite. With instructions to drop the bomb only on visual sighting, Boxcar arrived at Kokura, which was clouded over. So after circling three times, looking for a break in the clouds, and using up a tremendous amount of valuable fuel in the process, it headed for its secondary target, Nagasaki. Nagasaki is famous in the history of the Japanese Christianity. Not only was it the site of the largest Christian church of the Orient, St. Mary's Cathedral, but it also had the largest concentration of baptized Christian in all of Japan. It was the city where the legendary Jesuit missionary Francis Xavier established a mission church in 1549, a Christian community which survived and prospered for several generations. However, soon after Xavier's planting of Christianity in Japan, Portuguese and Spanish commercial interests began to accurately perceived by the Japanese ruler as exploitive, and therefore the religion of the Europeans, Christianity, and their new Japanese converts became the target of brutal persecutions. Anyway, we're not going to say that the Catholic Church or these people, these Jesuits, are Christians, although they're going to call themselves that. Nevertheless, we are going to agree that Christians and innocent people were slaughtered by using these bombs, and it was absolutely preposterous and wrong to try to do this sort of thing, or to actually have done this sort of thing, and it's a nothing less than the murderous rancor and part once again of what happens in the United States with the state governments that we have, or state leadership that we have. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. It's nice to have you, as always, right here on this station, to listening to the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. Remember, we have a new Liberty Minutes playing, Theology of Nations and Nationalism, which should be of interest to all of you who are faithful listeners, especially because they relate to the whole issue of immigration as well as foreign policy, and including things like the dropping of bombs on Hiroshima, which we just talked about, or Nagasaki. I wanted to make a quick plug for our friends at the Times Examiner. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at our newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576 to get your subscription started. That's 864-268-0576. You can also place an ad in the Times Examiner by calling David at 864-859-6817. Ask specifically for David, 864-859-6817, and get your ad started in the Times Examiner today. Well, there's been, of course, talk about the horrible devastation done by Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans and elsewhere. The flooding pictures are just shocking. Really widen your eyes in the morning as you see the entire city underwater. one of the major American cities, and most of it had been evacuated before the storm hit. Now, much of it underwater, as much as 80% of it. Well, apparently the damage there was not nearly as bad as it was in parts of Mississippi, and some of the Confederates are concerned today because they said, men, the sons of Confederate veterans have been inundated with calls of the status of President Jefferson Davis's home in Mississippi. We received word that our beloved Beauvoir as it was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. We have no particulars, so please be patient, as much of the area is currently without phone or electricity. Received a second report from the Biloxi area that Beauvoir has been destroyed. There were 30-foot surges of water in addition to 150-mile-an-hour winds that blasted away at the structure. The pirate ship casino on the shoreline in front of the Beauvoir is completely missing. Rumors are that everything within a mile of the beach, that area was completely destroyed. I have not been able to confirm this with anyone at the Mississippi. Davis and telephone lines and other means of communication are down in the area. If these unconfirmed reports are true, it is indeed a sad day for the SCV and all the South. Beauvoir is a priceless link to our heritage, and if it is gone, a piece of our soul is gone with it. My heart goes out to the members of Mississippi Division. This is a time when all members of the Sons of Confederate Veterans must pull together. You can be assured the National Sons of Confederate Veterans can do all they can to help the Mississippi Division. Well, okay. We, of course, support the Sons of Confederate Veterans very much. We're glad that they have reported this kind of stuff to us. I'm going to make a quick comment, not a demur, but just a quick comment that my least favorite guy, of course, in general, is going to be Jefferson Davis, because he was a statist. And I don't know what else to say about it. You can't compare Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson to Jefferson Davis and actually put them all in the same pedestal, in the same light. Anybody who's in the state doing the state's bidding, confiscating people's property, inflating the currency, and involving its conscription is not high on the list of people in my mind. So as much as I am pro-South, being from the true South, that is Southern California, I'm willing to make a criticism of Jefferson Davis. He wasn't evil, I don't think, like Abraham Lincoln. Nevertheless, he still did some things that were really bad and probably made things even worse for the South and led to the loss of that particular war for Southern independence, unfortunately. But nevertheless, it's always interesting to have statues of people and other landmarks like this, and apparently they have been destroyed so in Mississippi on account of the hurricane. Disasters Unlimited, John W. Summer in 1986 wrote, when disaster subsidy zones are created, disasters proliferate and tragedies continue. Today, government intrusion into these areas produces a severe loss of individual responsibility that leads to the prospect of an all-powerful government attentive to special interests. And that's exactly what we see in when you have, and Summer is right, when you have Disasters Unlimited, these zones at Mississippi and Louisiana will soon be, will end up having greater poverty, greater problems because government intrusion. And of course, it's all underwritten by the public treasury. It's in this sense, it is in the sense of an induced or subsidized settlement for these disaster-prone zones that the federal government uses our tax monies to place individuals at risk. Once providing disaster subsidies, it accepted that it's a proper function of government. It's intellectually and unassailable to expand the list of disasters to include such non-physical misfortunes as damages to border firms affected by the devaluation of the Mexican peso, or to states impacted by Cuban refugee resettlement. And he's certainly right about that. Federal aid in such cases encourages the expectation of paternal care on the part of the government and weakens the sturdiness of our national character, while it prevents the indulgence among our people that kindly settlement and conduct which strengthens the bond of a common brotherhood. That's what Grover Cleveland said. Appreciate the Tyranny Response Network staff bringing that up today. It's a great truth. And already, as Michael Connor is talking about on Reuters, we have economists talking about the impact of on oil and other things, and how the government will need to intervene. Shocks like this happen all the time. Markets are resilient. They bounce back and forth in terms of the price. It's not that big a deal, folks, but yet they're going to make it a big deal. As Michael O'Connor points out, they're going to make it a big deal, real big deal, what's happening with this hurricane, in order to get bigger government, a larger state, involvement. And although it's sad, and insurance is there to provide for protection against these things, we're going to end up getting even a sadder result, that is more government intervention, just like after 9/11. At any rate, you've been listening this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you did, and we indeed had that day off of the air because of a transmitter or equipment failure. But the equipment is now working, and we're glad to be on the air, and glad you're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Don't forget Rip and Richie's show is this afternoon, the Sacred House Slaughterhouse at 4:30, and we'll look forward to having you right back here tomorrow morning for another edition of Christian Worldview. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.